But Luke 18 and verse 27 in the King James, let me read these from a few translations. It says, the things which are what? Impossible with men are possible with God. That's the King James. The New Living Translation says, what is impossible for people is possible with God. And the New Century Version, it said, God can do things that are not possible for people to do. That's great. I like that. God can do things that are not possible for people to do. The Voice Translation says, what is humanly impossible is possible with God. So, you know, we live in this world where things can be humanly impossible to pull off. Can't do it. It's not possible. You couldn't pull enough strings to make it happen. So, in other words, it's not possible. But with God, it is possible. That means you might have some financial issue going on. It's not possible to correct it. But with God, it is possible. Could be some other. Could be a health issue. Could be a relationship issue. Could be some issue you're faced with that looks impossible. But with God, it is possible to come through it and over it. Amen? So just what we were saying Sunday. Do we believe that something we can't do, but God can do? See, something we can't do, but God is able to do. And we were sharing Sunday. Is your God bigger than your problem? That's the key. You got to look and see. Is God bigger than your problem? What are you focused on? And what I was sharing Sunday, big problem, small God. Big God, small problem. How big is your problem? Or how big is your God? See, how big is he? Is he greater than your problem? So the question is, do we live, and I want to look at some things here, the boundaries in our lives and the boundaries that we have that seem to hem us in, you know, or restrict us, are those boundaries, can we overcome those boundaries? You see? And so the question is, do we live within human limitations or boundaries or circumstances? Do we live within them, or do we choose to live by faith and receive what's possible with God? What do we choose to do? Are we taking and making a choice that my problems, I'm going to live within these for whatever reason? Or am I going to set my affections on him and say, no, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm coming through this boundary. I'm coming over it. You know, when that scripture in Proverbs, let me get there and read this because Proverbs chapter 4, that's a limitation. I like the verse 23 in the Good News Translation, Proverbs 4, verse 23 in the Good News Translation. It says, be careful how you think. This is the Good News Translation of Proverbs 4, 23. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So how we think about boundaries in our life can shape how we approach it, how we think about it. You see. That's why it says in the King James, it says, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, or guard your heart above, keep your heart. That's the King James. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. There's one translation, it's the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So when you talk about boundaries, if you look up this word issues, just, you know, don't take my word for it, look it up. you know, there's online concordances and different things you can look up. And look this word up. Again, it's it's Proverbs is in the Old Testament. So you can look that up as Strong's, you know, Strong's concordances online. Look that verse up and look up this word issues. You can go to BibleStudy.com, Bible Gateway. Well, BibleStudy.com, you can look up this and then highlight this word and look up the word issues. You know what it means in the Hebrew? Boundaries. So your heart, that's why it says be careful what you think about, because your heart will set boundaries in your life. So what you put in your heart, if you keep looking at the boundaries and you keep talking about them, you keep planting that in your heart, that's why it says what it says in the scripture. It says guard your heart above all else, because out of it comes the issues of life or the boundaries of life. So that's why, you know, you see people setting their own boundaries. When you hear people say, well, I can't do that, they set a boundary. We can't get over that. We can't do that. We don't have enough money. They set a boundary. They will never have enough money. We can't do that, you know, or whatever it is that you set a boundary. You know, the doctor said. The doctor said, I'm not going to live. You set a boundary. See, you set the boundary. Not the doctor. All the doctor did was just give you a report. But who's greater? Whose report are you going to believe? This is the whole point we're talking about. Yeah, there's boundaries in life. Natural boundaries. There could be a health boundary, a financial boundary. Those are boundaries. They're natural boundaries. But don't focus on it. Look at God's possibilities. Whose report are you going to believe? That's the whole crux of this. That's why we're sharing that particular scripture, that when we talk about the word issues, it actually means boundaries. You can look it up for yourself. But let's go over talking about boundaries and being hemmed in. Let's look go over to the book of Exodus in chapter 14, and let's look at the Israelites and look what kind of boundaries they had, and them looking at coming out of the land of Egypt and God leading them. And look at the situation here that they were faced with. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. But God here, he delivered the Israelites, what? Out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, he delivered them. And, you know, that's at the end of chapter 12. You can read through chapter 12. It talks about how they came out of Egypt and God delivered them. And then over in chapter 13, it talks about how God led them. In the New Living, it says, in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And it said, thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. But now look at verse 1 of chapter 14. It said, then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back. You know, sometimes God will lead you in a way you go, why are we doing that? It looks like we're going backwards, right? We're not going forwards here. So it says here, the Lord gave instructions, turn back and camp by, you know, I like what Pastor Percy says, big word. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it says between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. Who gave him these instructions? God did. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind. What have we done letting all those Israelites, slaves, get away? They asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600. That's a whole lot of chariots. I mean, even into this day. Imagine if you saw 600 chariots coming down. I'm talking about 600. That's almost 1,000 chariots. That's a whole lot of chariots. And they weren't just coming with one horse on it. Most of those chariots had 4 to 6 horses on them, pulling them. So it wasn't just one horse pulling a chariot. So you think about what kind of mass of people were coming at them. It says, along with the rest, it says 600 best chariots, 600 best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt. So it's the 600 were just the best, along with the rest. So that's a whole lot of folk bearing down on you, right? Looks like an impossible situation, right? Each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers, and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near along with Baal Zephon. Now look at verse 10 of chapter 14. This is the New Living. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, see, now they're going to start grinding on him now. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? So they're really giving him some good news here. We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But, just like Joshua and Caleb, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians will see today, the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people. See, this is God. Why are you praying to me? I told you I'm going to deliver them. I told you I'm going to set them free. Why are you asking me? Why are you complaining? Why are you praying to me for this? And you think, well, thought it was a good idea. We got these Egyptians bearing down on us. Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. God already knew that. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. So you can see here, they were in a pinch. And actually, if you read up where they went through, where God led them, they walked through. There were mountains on either side of them going throughout onto this area. Now they've got the sea in front of them. They got mountains on both sides, and they've got this angry Pharaoh and chariots behind them. They're trapped. They got boundaries on every side. It looks impossible. How many have ever been in an impossible situation? Some of us have. I mean, there's no way out. Impossible. So what happened? God has hardened the Pharaoh's heart. He wants to show himself what? Strong on their behalf. So they've got boundaries. The Pharaoh's behind them, the mountains on the side of them, the Red Sea in front of them. Looks like there's no way out. So the Israelites did what? They went through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians pursued them in the midst of the sea. But then look what happens in verse 26 of chapter 14. It said, the Lord spoke to Moses, and when all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, so now the inference here, the implication is the Israelites came across that dry ground at night. They're doing all this at night. So when they got to the other side, the sun's coming up, right? And them guys, they're bearing down on them now. So now the Pharaoh and his charioteers are going, hey, look, we got an opening. Let's go after them. So they charged in after them. So as the sun began to rise up, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians, listen to this, of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. Not one. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the land from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. So God, what did he say to Moses? He said, that Moses told the people, what did he say to them? Don't be afraid. I'm going to read it in the King James. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see what? The salvation of the Lord. Or you could say the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. So think about this now. The Israelites, at first, they got tripped up. They started to focus on the boundaries. But what did they do? They did follow Moses. So they stopped focusing on their boundaries, and they started to focus on who? They started to focus on the word of the Lord. So that's always the key. Don't focus on the boundaries. Doesn't mean they don't exist. They're there. But focus on the Lord. Focus on him. Focus on his word. Focus on things that he's spoken to you. You know, some things, I remember I've shared this, I'm not at liberty to share what he said, but he spoke something to me when I was a young boy, a young person in my 20s. And I'm home, and his voice filled my room. It wasn't a still small voice. It was the authoritative voice of God. It was, I've never heard it since. Not that I'm not expecting it again, but I didn't hear a still small voice. I heard his voice fill my room and told me what he was going to do with me. And it's been, since that time, it's almost 20 some, almost now 30 years. So some things God will speak you, please don't unhook from that. If he spoke something to you, then please don't do like the Israelites and focus on what you're walking through in life. Focus on what he said to you and say, I believe what you spoke to me, God. I believe what you said to me. It may not look like it's going to come to pass, but you're greater. And everything you spoke to me shall come to pass. You've got to believe that. Because if you don't, then you're going to focus on your boundaries. You're going to focus on your limitations. You see. So they could have, they could have looked at their natural circumstances and done what? They could have looked at them and the boundaries and said, it's not possible. We're doomed. But they decided to go with Moses. Right? So begin, instead of seeing the problem, because boundaries can be problems, issues. Instead of looking on those boundaries, look at the solution, look at the possibilities in God's word. Look at those things instead of your problems. Doesn't mean they don't exist. Doesn't mean they don't look real and tangible to you. Because the key is, what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4:17? He said, I'm going to read from the New Living. It says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So what are we supposed to do? We're to fix our attention, or we could fix our attention on things which are temporary, or we can fix our attention on the Word of God, which are eternal, the promises of God. So Paul writes, what did he write? You know, we read these stories in the Old Testament about situations that they faced. What did Paul write in 1 Corinthians 10? He said these things in verse 11. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So Paul is saying these things were written down in the King James. It says for our sample, for our admonition. And so it was there to help us so we don't make the same mistakes. So if the Israelites got tripped up, we could too. But they got delivered because somebody listened to the Lord and said, no, we can go through. We can make it. Follow me. See. So you can see here that these were set for us as an example, or you could say a pattern for us to follow, right? It was a pattern for us. So don't focus on the problem. You know, a lot of times when we're faced with problems and issues, depending on the severity of the issue or the problem, it can overwhelm your thoughts. It can be so strong that it just takes over, so to speak. It can be overwhelming where your thought life is concerned. You've got to make a choice at that point. You've got to say, no, God's word says this, and he's going to see me through this boundary. He's going to see me through this impossible situation. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe God and his word. You've got to believe the Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You've got to believe that he said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He won't turn his back on me. No matter what I'm going through, he's there with me. No matter what I'm faced with, he's not giving up on me. He's going to see me through this issue. He's going to see me through. He's going to show me a way. He's going to show me how. Isaiah 54:17, you're familiar with this scripture. No weapon that is formed against thee shall what? Prosper. And it goes on, every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is what? The heritage of the servants of the Lord and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. So no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Didn't say it wasn't going to come, but it's not going to prosper. And you've got to believe that and do what? Say it. You've got to give God something to work with. You've got to release your words, release his words in you. Right? You can look at your lack, or you can look at God's possibilities in his word. You can look at the lack in your life, or you can look at his word. You can look at, you know, a health situation and the boundaries of it, or you can look at God's word. One or the other. It's a choice we make. As it said in Luke 18, in the New Century Version, 27, God can do things that are not possible for people to do. He can do things that are not possible. It's, you know how people say, it's not possible. The doctors will say that. They'll tell you, you can't live. It's not possible. And then when it happens, they go, well, thank God. I said, Mel, you keep believing in that God you're believing in. Because they don't have an answer. They just don't have an answer. Same thing. It's not possible for you to come out of this debt. And then when you do, what do they got to say? Nothing. All they've got to say is, well, praise God, keep believing the way you're believing. Yeah. But they want to get you to believe their narrative. They want you to take the narrative of, you can't get out of it. It's not gonna change. It won't work. No, we've got to believe God's word. We've got to believe his report. When we do, we break through the boundaries in life, the things that are not possible to do, right? Isn't that true? Things that hem us in life, things that just look like you're not going to make it. I mean, I've just had too many. You know how many, when you have too many experiences with God where things have actually been where you've had, it's almost like in your life a make or break, right? So in other words, you're there and you're like, it's not going to work. It doesn't look like it's going to work. But then at that point, God speaks to you and he shows you a way out, just like the Red Sea. They're backed on every side. There's no way. And God says, Moses, just take your rod and hit the sea and it'll open up and they'll walk through. He does that with us all the time. We're backed in a corner every way. There's no way out. And he said, if you just do this, you'll see yourself through. At that point, you've got to say, I believe that. I'm going to obey this. I'm going to do it. May not be comfortable. It may not. You're probably saying, that makes no sense. Forget about that. Forget about what makes sense. Follow it. Do it. So that's why, you know, when we're faced with boundaries in life, that's the time we need to focus in and say, okay, God, how are you going to show me through this? How are you going to get me through this boundary that I'm faced with? Boundaries on every side. Restrictions on every side. If he did it, you know, when you think about this, when the Bible says in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it once, and God said, I change not, I lie not. If he did it once for his people, then that means he'll do it for any of his people. He will show you a way out if we'll listen, if we'll obey. Oh, yeah. You know, I've shared it too many times. I mean, these things, you know, and I'm sure you have the same things that help deliver you. I mean, I just shared it on Sunday. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, he said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That was in July. That's 6 months. I didn't fear. I didn't even go to the doctor initially. And then finally I said, well, maybe he knows something I don't. Maybe I'll go. And within a few weeks, it turned around because it was dietary. But if I hadn't, I'd have been dead. So he created a way out. Because there was something I didn't know. And that's why I said Sunday, yes, believe the word of God. And I was and did. But you know what? If you just take the book that we have in the bookstore, Christ the Healer, because I pondered this for a while. For years afterwards, I said, Lord, I was believing you. I did believe God and had been healed a number of times supernaturally. But if you go, when I stumble, I said, okay, there's the answer right there. That's the answer. That's it right there. Christ the Healer, in that book by F.F. Bosworth that he wrote back in the early 1900s, he got a chapter in there called 21 Reasons or 22 Reasons Why Christians Don't Receive Their Healing. Number 5 on the list is violating the laws of nature. And I said, there's my answer right there. I was violating natural laws with my diet. And just like you hear others say, yeah, you can say, I believe I received my healing, and then hit your hand with a hammer. And I'm believing God hit my hand with a hammer by something I eat. And that's why within a couple of weeks, it turned all around. I went to one specialist in the hospital here locally, and he wanted to do all kinds of things, and I just left. I never came back. I never went back because it did down here. I had this unsettledness. Didn't feel right. He wanted to do all the stuff. I said, see ya. Never went back. And so I went, and so eventually I went to a nutritionist. And he said some things. I mean, he said some things. I was thinking, why wouldn't the top surgeon know this? Why wouldn't they say this? He's somebody that deals with gastrointestinal issues. This person said, do you know, this is what he said. And I went, no, I didn't know that. He said, do you know if you stop putting food in your stomach will heal in 5 days? And I'm thinking, I'm sitting here going, you mean to tell me a top surgeon wouldn't know that? I said, that's crazy. And he said, so if you just stop putting food in your stomach or limit the amount, it gives the stomach the opportunity to heal itself. And that's exactly what this nutritionist did. He had me eat pureed foods for 5 days. And my stomach started to heal. And within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it was completely turned around. It was as hard as this desk. It was like a rock. It was in distress. So that's what I'm saying. He showed me a way out. He showed me a way to go. And I obeyed. And there's so many others that God spoke to me when it looked like there was no way out. Financial, health, ministry, you know, things that looked impossible. Just God speaking and saying, go this way. And that was the answer. So just like the Israelites with boundaries and limitations in our life, you know, people and situations saying, you're never going to reach this. You're never going to have this. You're never going to do this. You say, oh, no. I will do this. The key is following God and following his directions for your life, not making up your own. See? So that's the key. And so for us, it doesn't really matter how long we've been bound or held in or hemmed in, every way you want to say it. It doesn't matter how long we've been in that situation. If we look to God and his word, he will show us a way through. Just like the Israelites, he'll deliver them. He'll deliver me. But I've got to believe that. I've got to think that. I've got to see that I'm not trapped permanently. It's temporary. But with him, his word and his directions are eternal. He's going to show me a way out. No matter how hard it looks, no matter how difficult it looks. You know, we were just having dinner with everybody Sunday. You know, we went out to eat some things, and folks, you know, one couple was sharing, you know, that, you know, lovely couple, they said, you know, they just gone through a couple years ago that it just looked like their marriage was shot, you know, and they said coming through that, they got closer. And so they went, as they put it, that crucible of just going through that. And so it looked like just there's no way. But there is a way. There's God's way. No matter what looks impossible, if you just follow him, you're going to come out in victory. You're going to come out through that boundary, through that struggle. You're going to come through it. That's why when it talks about whose report are you going to believe, I'm going to repeat. And it says, when you do, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. So that's the exciting thing for me. No matter what we face, don't take the fear. Don't meditate on these impossible things in your life. Don't look at it and say, and come to the conclusion, I can't do it. It's just, I can't do it. Not gonna happen. Well, did you ask God? He's got a solution for you. He's got a way out. Otherwise, why would he say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me? So that means I can do it. I can go through the boundary. And that's why it says in the scripture, guard your heart at all cost, for out of it come the issues of the boundaries of life. So there may be boundaries, but don't meditate on them and start talking about them, because then you do set the boundaries. You do set them. So no matter what we're faced with in life, whether it's financial, health, relationships, children, whatever it is, there may be some boundaries or some situations that hem us in. But look to God. Look to his word, and he'll show us how to overcome them and go through them. Amen? Amen. I believe it. I do. You know, I like what Brother Hagin says, Pastor Hagin says. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. And if you just keep those thoughts in mind, when you get to that place where you feel like I'm out, you say, no, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Unless God tells you you're going home to heaven, well, then it's time to go. But don't go rejoicing. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for in helping us to see things like you see it. Thank you, Father, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you, Father, that even in these bodies, we may have some limitations, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you for it. Thank you that you're enlightening us. Thank you that you're filling our hearts and renewing our minds so that we can see the possibilities with you and in you. And we thank you that the devil is defeated in our lives. Thank you that he's defeated in the things that we touch and have in our relationships. Thank you that he's defeated. And we thank you, with you, we can do all things. With you, we can operate in the love of God. With you, we can overcome. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Bless God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm overcoming, and I am an overcomer in Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus.